Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex.
Greetings and welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total diva show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling theme Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp. And joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Time, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the Dino to my baby puss. So let's yabba dabba do the damn thing. And welcome to the show, the genius, known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
I'm hugely excited this week.
Yeah? What are you so excited about?
Well, as promised, I'm sure we're about to hear your rant on the fan at the Mariner game that dumped a completely full beer on the broad next to him.
Are you ready, Sign Guy?
I am, but 1 second. I'd also like to introduce my guest because I don't want him to ever think I would ignore him. We are joined by the Heroes and Legends champion, the Don Drew Skills.
What's up?
Welcome, 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 brother. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, fellas. What's going on?
Well, we were in the middle of what Sign Guy's waited for what, 2 weeks now, Sign Guy?
9 days.
9 entire days. Give Drew the rundown, Sign Guy.
Well, last week at a Mariner game, there is this fan that thought he had a chance to catch a foul ball into the stands. He leaps into the air, but he doesn't sit his beer down to make the catch. He goes up with the beer in hand. The beer continues to go up as he comes back down to his seat, and then the beer goes completely across the broad sitting next to him, doused her in beer. He takes a look at the situation, sits down, cracks open another beer, and just starts chugging like nothing happened, while the broad next to him just continually gets more and more angry. She finally got up and just left. But Rex, not wanting to waste a single drop of beer ever in his life, I believe has a rant on that.
Right on, let's hear it.
I didn't watch it again. Yeah, I didn't watch the video again, Sign Guy.
That's the worst rant you've ever done, and I sat through many a rant on the Mariners from you.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I'm never going to watch it. I don't care about it. So, Drew.
Yes.
What's the haps? Tell us a little bit. What's going on?
Man, just, you know, doing my thing. Every weekend, going on the road and doing what I love to do and sitting around talking to guys like the Bearded Wonder, Zane Paisley, and Sign Guy each week on the Undisputed Wrestling Show, man. I'm living the dream, brother.
I noticed you left someone out of there, Drew.
Yeah, don't tell him.
Okay, I won't, but I just happened to notice.
Oh,
whom was that beast
on,
guy?
I'm not going to say and have Drew Skills angry at me.
He's talking about old Will Huckabee, the Incredible Huck, the guy who schemed and did everything that he could do to get a match with Drew Skills, and then he doesn't show up.
Ah, that guy's no good.
Yeah, I hold a grudge against him. No, Huck's great.
Now, if you
man.
Have a grudge against him, imagine what the gift Jason Kincaid has against him, because Will Huckabee lost his jersey, apparently, to Jason Kincaid. Jason Kincaid has taken it all across North America, including Canada, just taunting Huckabee with that jersey.
A jersey? How did he lose his jersey?
I do not know the exact specifics, but I know for months and months and months, Jason Kincaid has posted pictures all over social media with himself wearing the jersey of Will Huckabee.
That's funny.
Interesting.
That's what he did.
Now, I'm sorry. What are we doing here? What is this? Sign guy, what's the scuttlebutt? What's going on around your neck of the woods?
Well, up in my neck of the woods, we had Piper Palooza number 2 the other day.
Oh, right.
Piper Palooza 2. They had to continually bring more chairs out because they were running out of places to seat people. Kevin Sullivan's first ever match in the state of Oregon. We had the Pacific Northwest NWA tag team titles change hands. It was a big night.
I'm glad it drew well for him. That's cool.
Absolutely. Very, very good crowd. Second year in a row I've been affiliated with Piper Palooza. The first one was in Tacoma. Both years, very good turnout.
Now,
well, Rex, around here in Indiana, we got a couple cons coming up. Are you a con guy? Should go to the cons?
I don't really go to cons. It's too many people. It drives me. I'm not a huge fan. We, you know, the Razor Ramones, we played the Heroes and Legends last year, and that was a fun time by all, except for those that had to watch us. But I'm not a big con guy. But do tell what's coming up. Get into some of that.
Well, we got the Indie PopCon that's coming up. That's June 17th through the 19th. There's actually going to be a wrestling show on the 18th. Let's see who else is going to be there. Simon Dean's going to be there. The Soul Shooters taking on the Headbangers. Congo Kong's defending the Strong Style heavyweight title against Tommy Dreamer. Robbie E, Beta Scott. I'm sure there's a bunch more people going to be there.
Davey Richards and his wife, what's her face?
Angelina Love.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, they'll both be
also,
here as well.
Also, Kevin Smith is going to be at the PopCon.
Yes, Kevin Smith's doing a big thing that night. He's having a late night show with Kevin Smith, and then they're actually going to shoot a podcast, Fat Man and Batman, or something like that's the name of it. The Fat Man and the Batman, or something like that. They're doing that podcast live that night as well. And then June 24th through the 26th is Days of the Dead. And Shawn Michaels will be at Days of the Dead. Marty Jannetty's going to be there. And I will be at the table with none other than legend Eugene Oakland at the Heroes and Legends table.
Excellent. I'm thinking about going to that. I do occasionally go to the 4 cons because there's a lot more booze at those. I don't know what it is.
Go ahead, bro.
I guess the horror geeks like to get a lot drunker than the wrestling geeks. I don't know what that is.
I'm looking forward to meeting Sig Haig. I've always wanted to meet Sig Haig.
Yeah. Yes, I've met him a few times at those. Excellent man. It looks like a good show. And what else is coming up? Any others?
Man, that's the big thing in the near future. Those two cons are coming to Indianapolis, the Indy Pop Con and the Days of the Dead. And then, of course, in October, you guys performed and did a great job, Heroes and Legends. I believe that was 5, and Heroes and Legends 7 will be here October 22nd back at the Coliseum there in Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be taking on Damian Sandow.
I saw that, absolutely, and that'll be an excellent show. Shockwave the Robot is going to be there, I believe. Is that true?
Shockwave the Robot will be there. Hornswog will be there. Dutch Mantel will be there.
Yes.
Lots of guys. Of course, the tag team champions, Tracy Smothers, and Bobby Fulton will be there. Dutch is going to be in their corner for this show. It's going to be another big show, a lot of fun. Brooklyn Brawler will be there.
Oh, wow, yeah. That show is going to be excellent. I might try to get back up there for that one. Sign guy, I think it's time to get to the questions.
All right. The first one, Drew. Now, as a world-class athlete, I'm sure you have a preference on this. Do you have a favorite antioxidant tea that you like to drink post-match?
I'm not a tea guy. I don't like tea. It's something.
Well, that concludes total
know.
Teas with Sign Guy Interacts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the second one, and this pertains to Total Dudes with Sign Guy Interacts. Whom, Drew Skills, is this show Total Divas for?
Who is the show for?
Yes, who is the target audience that they hope to draw with Total Divas?
The horny little dudes and the, or not, some of them aren't even little, but the horny guys and the wannabe princess diva girls that look up to those female athletes and want to aspire to one day grace a cover of a lingerie magazine.
And I think you watched the perfect episode for that statement, because typically we feel that this show is meant for the 30-year-old woman. That's who posts on their Facebook. That's who most people have said. But this episode, I was struggling with who could possibly like it, because half of it is about a bloody vagina, and the other half is about these broads trying to bang each other. So I didn't know who was supposed to watch this. There's no way women would like it. There's no way fellas would like it. So this one, I think you kind of nailed what they were going for here, but man, oof, this one was rough. What do you think, Sign Guy? Oh, yeah.
Drew might be onto something.
You got another question for him?
I think we should just dive right into this thing.
Okay, then hit that music.
Oh,
Dialogue Time. That's the segment of the show where we take a scene from tonight's episode of Total Views. We transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Tonight's scene will feature Sign Guy as Trinity / Naomi. I shall be Rosa Mendez, and Drew shall be Summer Rae. Are you ready, Drew?
Let's do it.
And scene.
Hi. Oh, you look pretty.
Do we match?
Mine wants to be there.
Oh, let's sit down.
Remember, I got the birth control.
Oh, yes.
Implant, and the struggle continues.
What do you mean by that, girl?
My flow, it won't shut off.
Oh, are you serious?
Yes, for 2 months straight. 2 months straight.
So, when you wrestle and everything?
Yes.
That's no good. You can get an iron deficiency, I think.
I'm tired all the time. I'm exhausted. No energy. It's terrible. I feel terrible. John has an extremely high sex drive. I need to do something to keep him.
Maybe you should just do something to spice him up. Spice it up for him.
I just want to do something because he's been very patient.
Yeah, I have the best idea ever.
What?
Pole dancing class. Oh, I've always wanted to do it.
That's not bad.
I'm down. For years, he has asked me to strip for him and put on a show for him. So...
You've danced for years.
Should I Google it? Should I Yelp? How should I look?
Tampa's the strip capital of the world. I'm sure there's tons of places around here.
And scene. Normally I would say, Sign Guy, what was this? But I've got a point I've got to make here. Now, Trinity wants to do something for John for being patient with her medical issues. He's been craving some of his hey. And her
I believe
idea,
the word is cooked.
No, it's hey. Trust me. And her idea to relieve that tension for him is to take fucking pole dancing lessons and dance for him. Never once
no,
the idea.
Not her idea, but the idea she
right,
thinks is good.
Rosa Mendez's dumbass idea. She never thought, oh, maybe shaking my ass and grinding on his fucking dick is going to make it worse, and that she should possibly, I don't know, suck his fucking dick instead, something he'd probably actually appreciate. I'm not even saying anal or anything. I'm saying hold his balls while he jerks off. That's what he wants. He doesn't want to watch you sexually entice him while he's sitting there doing nothing. That's dumb. And it costs money. She could have just easily just taken care of the problem real quick and moved on. Life would be over. Everyone's happy. It's just what I think.
Unless they just, because it's, of course, it's WWE, so it's PG. Of course, unless the blowjob is just implied. Said striptease and then blowjob.
I guess an implied blowjob could exist. I never thought of it that way.
He can't eat the cookie right now. But she should be able to hook him up.
That's a red velvet ass cookie right now. Oh no. All right, so let's get started. Drew.
Yes, sir.
Who did you hate?
Who did I hate this episode?
Yes.
I absolutely hated Natalia.
Yes, tell us why. Tell us about it.
What a bitch in this episode. And I'm not saying that she's a bitch. Don't get me wrong. I don't know her to call her a bitch. In the episode, what a bitch. Jesus. I mean, she ran off to the hotel. She didn't want to talk to him, and she meets up with him, and maybe I just don't want to do this no more. They've been together for years and years and years. The first year of the marriage, and she loses the goddamn.
She lost her smile in this relationship, yes.
she lost her smile and wanted to go home. Head back to Calgary.
I bet there's a person on this podcast that agrees with you that Natty was the worst. Sign guy?
I actually do agree with Bruce Gills on this because I had Natty at my number one most hated for the episode.
I knew you did, sign guy. I knew.
Were you looking in on me as I was writing out my top and bottom three?
I just know you so well, brother, that I knew. You hated this woman.
Okay, because it would have been
sign
creepy if you were peeking in the window.
No, to be fair, Drew, sign guy hates Natty the most every week, even if she's only on there. Like a moment.
Not entirely true. There's been weeks I've left her off my most hated. But I'd say 85% of the time she makes my bottom three.
Do you want to express a little? Drew, do you watch this show regularly, or is it?
I'm embarrassed to say that there was a couple seasons that I watched, but I don't remember exactly what seasons they were.
Thank you. I refresh his memory a little bit with some of Natty's highlights.
Some of the things that Natty has done in her total diva career, she once had imaginary symptoms from a brownie that in reality contained no marijuana, so she wrecked her car purposely into a building to avoid getting any drug test. She had insects flying out of her hair, so when she had her home fumigated, she ran into the poison-filled house to retrieve a bowl for her cat to lay in. She lied to her entire family and then started spewing off all the lies she told, thus breaking the hearts of her parents and her husband and her sister. She pretended that her sister did not live in their home to her husband, despite the fact that her sister did in fact live there and had all of her belongings moved into the home in plain view of said husband. She is also, as we learned in this episode, expressed outrage of being propositioned by a broad by then trying to make out with a different broad. Those are just some of the highlights. There's far more.
I remember most of that. The sister was absolutely ridiculous. Tried to hook her up with Big E, was lying to TJ about her living there. I remember all that. And then the, of course, any relationship shit with her is just really boils my blood.
Oh, man. So, Spine Guy, what are your thoughts about Natty?
For this episode?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this episode, it was kind of twofold for Natty. Now, the first thing is Rosa, as we learned last week, trying to hit on Natty somewhat. And so when Natty's having this, like, bad day that she created for herself by just wanting it to be a bad day, apparently, Rosa...
I just wanted to make her feel wanted. I just wanted her to feel beautiful and feel wanted.
Exactly.
So I tried to stick my tongue down her throat.
Exactly. And Natty, is like shocked. She can't believe Rosa's propositioning her, and Rosa would say, "Oh, I'm just kidding, but no, I'm not. If you want to do this, but I'm kidding, unless you really want me to." And that went on, and then Rosa throws this party for Natty, invites all the other broads and some of the guys along, and when Rosa tries to just make this pass on Natty and just be all over, Natty's just shocked, and she runs into the bathroom with Trinity, and he's like, "Trinity, Rosa tried to do this," and then Natty tries to do the exact same thing to Trinity. She's like, "No, just let me kiss you with my tongue down your throat so you know what Rosa did." Which was ridiculous. She could have just said, "Rosa tried to stick her tongue down my throat," but she's like, "No, let me physically stick my tongue down your throat to show you what happened here." It was just insane, even for Natty. And then we have the problems at the house. And in this episode, I ranted for a solid year. Mrs. Sangai will confirm, for a solid year, when this episode first aired, I ranted about this. TJ goes out and gets a birthday gift for Natty, and she's already complaining at the birthday party that they threw, which she told all the other broads didn't even happen. So she's at this party. TJ's like, "Oh, let's go see your gift." Natty, without going into the room where the present is or having seen it, says, "I hate this gift." Hadn't seen it yet. Didn't know what it was. But she's telling TJ that she hated it, and then she told everyone else he didn't get her anything, when in fact he bought her an expensive-looking piece of exercise equipment with the mindset of, hey, you're an athlete, and you have to maintain cardio and so forth and so on. Here's something to help. But she, without even looking at it, hates it. And when the family, including the Anvil, is trying to tell her how great of a gift this is, she just gets irate, blows up at everyone, and storms off to move into a hotel while blaming everything on poor TJ, who not only threw her a party, bought her a cake, and bought her a gift. She told everyone he did none of those things. And then the absolute worst part of it, at the end of the episode, TJ finally gets her at lunch. And we all know lunch is no more meaningful than breakfast on this show. And Natalia's telling them all, "I don't know if I want to continue with this. I don't know if this is what I want." And TJ's just kind of blown away, like, well, this never came up before, but all right. And then Mark Carano calls Natty. He's like, "Oh, so good to hear from you, Mark. I'm all alone. Nobody else around me right now." TJ's sitting within inches of her.
And then she, you want to talk?
She complains that, that, you know, it's all on TJ, when she tells the person in charge of the talent at WWE, "I'm all alone," when TJ's right there.
I think the "I'm alone" part is because they kind of like to have those conversations alone. "Hey, you're by yourself. I need to talk to you for a little bit," blah, 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 type of deal. But the fact that and TJ knows that, but the fact that she would do it when they're talking about their goddamn marriage and her moving back to the fucking house and, you know, not running out like a 14-year-old little girl who just caught her boyfriend kissing the girl down the street. It was ridiculous. You are an athlete, and you bought a damn cardio piece of cardio equipment. Everybody knows when you're on the road, as often as they're on the road, when you get home, when you finally get some time at home, you know, you will make time for the gym, but cardio is the last thing in the world anybody wants to do. So, you know, you'll skip out on cardio just to get home and relax. He circumvented that, got a smart gift, something they could both use, and she just shit all over it.
Yep.
Without even seeing what it was, she immediately said she hated it, and it was still covered up in the other room. And then she complained she didn't get a gift. I bet he spent probably upwards of $1,000 on it, if not more.
Easy $1,000. That was a brand new piece of cardio equipment, top of the line. You know, even if he got a deal on it, he paid $1,200,
$1,500. Yeah, absolutely.
And we know from previous episodes, how she spends money.
Oh, absolutely. And then she lies to TJ. She lied to him how much it was going to cost to get their house ready to go on market for no reason at all, like he would never notice. It was like $20,000 more than the figure she gave him. And then she was mad at TJ when he called her out on it because she thought he was too stupid to know simple math.
Yeah, because I remember when I watched the show with, more so when it was new and was first coming out, but the way she acted, TJ, was just ridiculous. The whole thing through it was one of the reasons I stopped watching.
Well, one of the reasons why I want to stop watching, moving along, is Brie fucking Bella. Now, long-time listeners of the show would know I absolutely hate this fucking woman. And this episode is a prime example of why.
Somebody else's dirty underwear has already been in their racks.
Oh, my God. This fucking nitwit. So the show starts off with us getting the assertion from her that her and Brian have no money coming in because they aren't working, which doesn't deal with the realities of their downside contract guarantee, which is something they could have easily stated and said. They could have said, oh, we're making less money now because we're not wrestling every week. But instead they just say they're fucking broke and have no money. So because of this, she decides to be a complete fucking asshole to her sister at lunch, telling her she can't order what she wants to order, which is probably going to be paid for with her own money and have nothing to do with Brie Bella at all, as if Nikki Bella can't afford the fucking wine that she wants. Like, what the fuck was that? That made me lose my mind to start off with. I just, Jesus Christ. What do you think about that scene, Drew?
Well, outside of course, Stephanie McMahon, at that time, Nikki was probably the highest paid woman in the damn company.
Oh, yeah, I would bet.
And the fact that her sister is giving her shit over a $100 bottle of wine is ridiculous.
A fucking bottle of wine. Yeah, $100. Jesus Christ.
She flew across the country to come hang out with you, and you're worried about this bottle of wine before you go to the appointment where she freezes her fucking eggs that cost $50,000.
Which Brie insisted she do. That was all Brie's insistence. Like the $100 bottle of wine, she loses her mind, but she basically insisted that her sister go behind her boyfriend's back to freeze the eggs, no matter what it costs, no matter how many thousands of dollars, even if it didn't work, it would still be worth the attempt, she said. That didn't bother her a bit.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And I'd also like to point out, Daniel Bryan at that point in time, probably, even though he was out of television for probably a month at that point, maybe 2 months, was probably still in the top 4 or 5 merchandise sellers in that company. They make pretty good royalties off of that.
Oh, they're paid, brother. And not to mention, they show the lifestyle that they live. So it's not like Brie and Brian are spending money frivolously. And, the bottle of wine that her sister is going to fucking pay for is going to set her family back.
But what about the goddamn TV show they're on right now? Are they not fucking getting paid for it? Are they doing this for charity? That's just been a preposterous storyline from Brie from the second they did it. I just could not fathom this idea of them having no money. And anyone watching the goddamn show had to be like, so you're telling me these fuckers have no money? Then what am I? I work at fucking Hot Topic. These fucking
which is not a gear store.
Ugh.
Yeah, not a gear store. And not to mention, I think it was around this time that the Bella Sisters did the that video, right? They were in that hip-hop video.
Yeah, and they were in a movie, too, around this time.
So they were, you know, money was not an issue at all.
No, it never was.
And not to mention, in last week's episode, Brie had $100,000 that she could invest into a bed and breakfast. She needed to borrow the rest from John Cena, but she had the $100,000 there, and when that got shot down by Cena, I'm sure she didn't just burn the $100,000 in the fireplace and say, oh, well, she probably had that still.
Listen, we only have $100,000 in our business account for our entrepreneurship. Don't you dare buy that $100 fucking bottle of wine.
And she wasn't even
before we go freeze your fucking eggs.
1,000 times that bottle of wine is in their bank account somewhere to just waste on bullshit. And she's worried about it. This is still the first fucking scene. Then Nikki tries to have a conversation with her sister because they're in the goddamn car. That's what people do while driving to this appointment across town. And Brie just fucking flips out on her like a loon. She's mad that Nikki's joking about wine? And then mad about her sister driving to this appointment? And then mad. Just mad at her sister who's trying to make a small trip a little bit more fun. You know, like, what the fuck?
Listen, like, when California has its water drought that it has every fucking year, you don't bring up wine, you fucking bitch.
I'm mad, though. So we're going to buy a new washing machine that I want that isn't green friendly like Daniel wants to buy. Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah, so this did. Yeah, go on. Tell us about the washing machine scene, Drew.
Yeah, the washing machine is just ridiculous. I get it. She's done the research. She's done her thing, and she said, Brian, I want to buy this fucking washing machine drying set right here. I did all this research. It's only $20,000 each. And Brian says, no, let's go get this $400 fucking washer and dryer set from down the block. And she's got an issue because someone has washed their fucking drawers in them before.
And she
doesn't know who it is. As if she would be okay if she did know whose drawers it was.
If they were fucking Brodus Clay's, I'd be cool. But since they're random woman, yeah.
It's not like it's the Funkadelics draws with Naomi's bloody draws and shit. her two month panty draws.
And she's upset. She's upset that Daniel Bryan wants to save money, even though she spends the entirety of the first part complaining about them not having fucking money. Like, good fucking God. What is this? What is my life? Why am I watching this? What have I done with myself? I am a fucking teacher. I fucking work at a domestic violence shelter. Why do I spend my life watching this fucking bullshit? Oh, I'm having an existential crisis, you guys. I'm sorry.
And not only that with the washer and dryer, Brian calmly explained some of these are new. They're not all used. She was upset that he would make her go to the store to see if there was something that cost $19,600 less than the one she wanted, and she was just furious. How dare you waste my time when I have wine to drink so I can complain to my sister how much this hurts the environment and my pocketbook? Just furious.
She starts screaming at him, at least make my home life easy because you're nuts. I had to drive you all day to your doctor's appointments, and all I wanted to do was go do yoga. You're so focused on yourself and getting healthy and getting your body working in a manageable state following these surgeries, and you're not focused on me. Stop focusing on your health and pay attention to me. I'm Bree Bella.
Bree actually said she was taking time off specifically so she could spend all of her time and attention on helping her husband get better. But the second that comes into play, it's an inconvenience for her.
Ugh. She didn't say that she was going to do that and miss yoga class, sign guy.
That's true. That is true. But she did say, and this was the strangest thing, moments after Brian had surgery and he's in the recovery room, she calls him. She said she wanted to hug him by putting his head on her chest and squeezing it as hard as she possibly could. A man that just had neck surgery moments earlier. That's how she wanted to help him.
That's that good love.
Apparently, or she had a really good life insurance policy on him.
So, Drew, have you changed your mind? And do you now think Bree Bella is the worst?
No, Natty's a bitch, man. The stuff that she did to TJ is ridiculous.
Who else did you dislike, Drew?
At least Brian could bring Bree back, you know, sit Nikki down and do an intervention and bring Bree back to some semblance of common sense. Natty's just fucking out there in this episode.
Who else? Who else did you dislike?
Let's see. I kind of disliked and liked at the same time Rosa.
Yes.
I dig her bisexual shit. Because it's sexy women on sexy women, so that's cool. But her just, you know, her she had a lot. She was fueling the fire for sure with Matt and the TJ hate.
Yes. Well,
although she did have misinformation because he did get her a present, and she was told he didn't.
I have to say, I had Rosa as my number two most hated person. I found her to be a sexual predator. And I found it very weird. Now let me lay the groundwork here. It starts right off the bat with poor old Paige. Paige is at work trying to do a job that has to endure the sexual harassment of a far older coworker, which would basically be like a national story if Rosa was a fella.
Hold on, Rex, because Paige did put her head on Rosa's boobs and felt them up and was talking about how it felt like she just rested her head on a couple pillows. So she started the sexual harassment.
That's
it aroused Rosa, and she turned it up. You know, she turned the volume up on it.
That's victim shaming. No means no, you guys.
Now, to be fair to Rosa, they've established since she joined the cast here in the third season we're reviewing that she just got out of recovery for alcohol and substance abuse following an extremely horrific relationship.
Yeah,
so she was kind of in a fragile state, and here's these broads filling her up and sending mixed signals to her. I'm not saying that she should have just continually went after them, but it's kind of on the broads that are going after Rosa, even if they're not serious I mean, she just got out of rehab. She doesn't know what's going on here. She's been in a clinic for the last year of her life.
Yes, and in those rehabs, you learn how to live right again because you've been living in a manner that is not right. And you go in there and you learn how to deal with your emotions, how to deal with what's been causing your addiction. You don't learn how to basically molest women and force yourself sexually on them, which is what she was doing to Natty and Paige. She's a predator. She should leave people alone. Natty comes to her, tells her, listen, you made me feel uncomfortable when you were, you know, trying to kiss me. I didn't like it. And she, like, minimizes it, brushes aside, like, oh, Natty, it's fine. I just wanted you to feel sexy, baby. Hey, baby, give me a smile. Come on, pretty, pretty. It was a creep. Like, if she was, like, a gross old Italian construction worker, it would be straight up, like, it would be big-time news. But she's, you know, Rosa, like, she said, Natty, don't worry about it. I just wanted you to feel good about yourself. And then Natty's like, okay, whatever. She just starts smacking Natty's ass. Like, hey, don't worry about it, Natty. It's what athletes do, huh? Let me put a finger in, huh? Didn't like it.
I think the biggest takeaway, Rex, from all that is that E! Entertainment missed the boat, and they shouldn't be doing the Bella Twins show. They should be doing Rosa's bisexual escapade.
Once we hit season 5, that was completely swept away, and Rosa was 100% straight because she'd gotten knocked up by some guy.
That'll do it.
Yep.
That right there straightens you right, straight as an arrow. As soon as a guy implants his seed in you. You don't like boobies no more when a guy implants his seed in you.
But then she also immediately became an enormous Christian somehow then too. She's like, oh, I'm really worried about what my mom's going to think about my husband who impregnated me and trying to marry me and make an honest woman out of me. What is she going to think? Oh, what's my mom going to think? We're such a Christian family. What's your mom going to think about you fucking shoving fingers everywhere in these women?
Now, a couple of episodes ago, Rosa also opened the door completely naked in the hotel for Natty, trying to entice her. At least she didn't go that far this episode. And, of course, in season 4, I believe it was, Rosa and Foxy had this plan where they were going to manufacture wardrobe malfunctions on television and expose their bodies in the hopes that other broads would say, hey, there's good role models on television. I want to see more of that.
They also waxed Rosa's.
Yes, they did.
They waxed it?
Yeah.
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 What episode was that? That doesn't sound like PG television.
Mm-mm.
It was assuredly not.
She was completely naked, spread eagle in the bed. These broads come in there and they all start laughing or something, and then they just start like waxing her cookie.
Her hoo-ha.
Hers would be a snickerdoodle. Yeah, hers is a snickerdoodle. If Trinity's is a chocolate chip, right? Is that what would Rose's be?
Hers would be a I don't know. What would it be?
I think some type of noodle.
What's a spicy?
I don't know.
I'm gonna say maybe a Mexican wedding cake.
Oh, there you go. So that seems racist.
Oh, mine was gonna be too.
Yeah, we all are. That's why it was snickerdoodle. It just matches her skin color a little bit. You know, they got a little punch to them. They're not real spicy, but just a little bit. She's not real spicy. She's a nice Christian mom now.
I forgot. She organically changed over the season.
Yes. So, Drew, anyone else you found repugnant?
I'm not a big fan of Summer Rae's face. There's something about her face I don't really like.
It's her nose.
It is her nose. I hope you guys don't mind. I do have a buddy here with me who made a very good observation that she looks like a bird. Poison Apollo Star is here with me.
Oh, Poison Apollo Star.
We got both soul shooters.
Both of us in the house. And she looks like, she kind of looks like a bird.
Yes, like Sweet D from It's Always Sunny, but worse.
Yes.
Yes, very much. So, any thoughts on Summer Rae?
I initially liked Summer Rae, but when I thought more on it, her idea was so terrible and ill thought out that I don't think she actually listened to the entire problem. I think she just half listened. She's like, oh, why don't you take stripper lessons without thinking that'll make things way worse for poor John and his frustrations.
She just wanted to get in on the stripper pole classes.
I think so, and she was also in on the whole, like, good game smack at the end of the class, if you noticed.
Oh, yeah.
Another sexual event.
Yes. I think Summer's just trying to fit in. She's a real weirdo. And her discussions of how they were making it rain, it sounded like my mom talking about making it rain. They are making it rain out there. They are really dropping it down low. It is. They're getting wild in here with this twerk thing. It is out of control in here, ladies. It was, come on, Summer Rae.
She hears all those cool hip phrases down on Sesame Street.
Like making it rain and twerking.
She looks like damn Big Bird.
I heard Miley Cyrus created this twerk. I don't know what it is really. Good grief.
She can use, she's just waiting for the next Fandango or someone she can dance with, but this time on a pole.
Oh, yeah, she's trying. Maybe she can be with the Breezango and show off her twerk work. Good grief.
Fandango had to stop her because she actually frustrated him as well on one episode.
Poor Finn Ding Dong, yeah. But Sign Guy, who else?
Well, my number three was Paige because of the aforementioned, like, enticing of Rosa and then acting like she was horrified when Paige, in more than one episode, talked about how she liked the shag broads as well.
That does not mean she has to shag Rosa, though, Sun Guy.
But she acted like that. That's how she reacted when Rosa was like, oh, she's giving me the signal she wants something. And then Rosa was like, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. When she openly talked about shagging broads in other episodes.
That's fine.
Rosa,
she can
was
talk
fair
about it
game.
All she wants. Her sexuality is her own issue. She can talk about it till the fucking cows come home. Doesn't mean Rosa is able to shove her tongue up in there.
But Rex, Paige did grab her titties first and was talking about the big soft pillows. And then she talked about her butt. And then she talked about her butt getting being sweaty.
Yeah, she did. Yeah,
she was trying to lure Rosa. And then shut the door on her.
What do they call those real shitty British people that act like, what are they called? Fuck, I can't think of the word.
British people?
Yeah, they're all garbage cans. That's true. I can't think of the word. Whatever. Let's move along. Drew, did you like anybody on this episode?
Yes, I did. I loved one more than any other, and it was Eva Marie.
Tell us about it.
She was only in one scene, and she just looked hot and didn't say nothing stupid, and it was great.
That's usually how it works on this show. The people that are on it the least, that's usually our prime reason for liking them. So, good work. You nailed it, Drew.
That was my number one. Eva Marie, sexy as hell. I dig it. Everything until she opens her mouth or tries to do something. But just standing there and shaking her head, oh, man, a perfect job.
Trying to get your thoughts on Eva Marie?
I think Drew would have not liked her as much if she was still wearing the Scott Steiner beaded headdress that she had on in the first few episodes of this season.
Mm.
Did you see her in the beaded headdress, Drew?
I don't remember the beaded headdress, but I don't know. I might have dug it, to be honest.
It was at her wedding thing.
It wasn't actually at the wedding. It was when they were just discussing
should they have a Catholic
wedding or not. They were just at the house talking, and she's just rocking this random
Scott Steiner
headdress.
Yes.
Which, you brought up the wedding. Explain the magic of television to me. Because all at the wedding, in the same episode, at the wedding, unless they did separate takes of the wedding, she had red hair and then black hair, right?
It was a wig.
That's the magic of television. Which one was the wig? Did she
always wear
a wig?
I believe the black hair. Some guy was that. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, I believe the black hair was a wig because she wanted her dad to see her like she appeared
natural.
When she was young and she had black hair.
I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah, when she was young, she had big fucking fake tits and just... Like, Daddy, I want you to think of me like I was as a little girl. And they're like, oh, yeah, I remember those big fucking... goddamn hairbags fucking flopping around. Jesus Christ. What a stupid fucking story. Someone I liked was Jim Neidhart because he was amazing.
Well, we're allowed to pick guys. I didn't know we were allowed to pick guys.
Oh, yeah, we could pick
anybody.
I got a random one.
I'm changing mine to Anvil, too. Just because he's fucking Anvil.
Oh,
mine's number one was also Anvil, and for the record, when QT was on this show, he once picked as his number one the coffee urn.
fucking QT. Jesus Christ. You know what?
You know what
I'll say about QT, though? I've been on the Sign of the Times a couple times. He made some ridiculously crazy challenge competition deal thing between me and Jason Maples after we both told him that we don't watch baseball and we're not fans of Major League Baseball. Ridiculous challenge about baseball, and it all was based off stats, which neither one of us or none of us was going to fucking pay attention to. And the winner was going to get a fruit pie. And he sent me my fucking fruit pie. I got my fruit pie. Fuck yeah. I got it. It was 11. Someone came up to me and was like, this is QT. I think it was Lila Lodge. Gave it to me.
Fucking QT, sorry guy, he went an hour out of his way, right, to give you a fucking piece of paper he had written on to give to me. Guys.
An hour each way. It was actually 2 hours out of his way.
To give a piece of fucking paper.
I love it.
I love him. He's the best. But back to Jim Neidhart.
Sign guy. Sign Guy would have me talking about some old, wrestling history, and then they'll pass it to QT, and QT will say, in 1743, in Great Britain, on the Isle of Jackass, just, what the fuck?
He's a genius. I love him.
He's great.
Excellent man.
Jim the angel in my heart.
He said, Charlotte Flair, yeah, Flair's kid, she can wrestle, but can she drink tequila?
Right.
And then just like, TJ's like showing the present to Natty. Natty hates it, and Angel's like, oh yeah, that's a great birthday present. Good job, TJ, that's awesome. And as we see in later episodes, we'll see him just standing on it randomly.
That's awesome. I never noticed that. That's great.
Yeah, he does. Is it in the episode where she's moving, where they're moving some guy?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Because he says he's going to help them move, and so he puts his hand under their water refrigerator and says he's helping them. He's helping them move the fucking water out of the refrigerator.
Yes.
Yes. I want the show to be total Neidhart's because they're my favorite part.
Yeah, the Anvil is great, man. He's awesome. You know he's not using that damn treadmill, so it's hilarious he's standing on it.
Who else did you like, Sign Guy?
See, my number two is Mark Carano.
No, bullshit.
Mark Carano wasn't seen in this episode, but he squashed one major beef when Bree and Brian were at breakfast and they were still bickering a little bit, and Mark Carano called and he's like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got your voicemail, and sure, the 2 weeks you've been off has been the longest time in company history. You can come back immediately. After she had requested time off, didn't want to be on the road, but because she forgot they were still making a downside guarantee plus royalties off merchandise, she went into panic mode. Carano's like, we'll scrap the entire summer worth of storytelling and bring you back to TV so you don't think that you're completely broke. So he squashed that for poor Brian, because you know Brian was sick of it by then. He's like, for the last time, we're not destitute. We don't need Cena's millions of dollars to get by. Quit bugging people with this. And he probably called Carano and said, can you help me out? I'll do anything. And then later, Carano was going to call Natty. He's like, maybe I can squash this heat between TJ and Natty. Maybe I can tell her she needs to up her cardio or something so she'll use that expensive gift TJ got her. But Natty's like, oh, no, I'm all alone here, Mark. Not a person around.
Now, who's the dude from back home in later episodes when it starts getting really bad between Natty and TJ? It seems like she flirts with cheating on him with this guy. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Yes. His name is Jared?
Yes, Jared.
What if Natty just has him listed as Mark Carano in her phone and she was running off to go back to the hotel to see Jared?
Wow.
Download Jared. I like it.
I think that might have been what it was. Carano was just we didn't hear his voice. We heard his voice when he talked to Bree. Why didn't we hear him when he was talking to Natty?
That's a very interesting point. Because, TJ was walking by, and the phone rang, and it popped up, and there's Jared's picture or something on the phone. He's going to flip out, but if he's like, oh, it's just Mark Carano calling.
Why, yes, I am all alone.
I am all alone. Let me leave. I got to take this, TJ. I'm out of here. She fucking has his phone and left.
Going to FaceTime this motherfucker in the car.
Jared was like, that's enough. Get fucking back here to the hotel. I'm not done with you.
Maybe that's why Natty was so adamant in turning down Rosa. Maybe she's expecting Jared to show up any second.
Jared was giving it to her back at the hotel.
They were on that fucking exercise equipment.
They were using the cheap bullshit. They were using the cheap bullshit down in the hotel exercise room when Natty had that state of the art shit at the crib.
Oh man! All right, let's talk about Uncle Buck for a minute. Now, old Uncle Buck is Trinity's uncle, who looks younger than her. And this motherfucker goes to the OBGYN with his niece to discuss her uterine lining and the polyps on it. But I support it. He's supporting the sexual health of the women's life's good. But I'm guessing that old Uncle Buck went along trying to catch some peeps and some pusses. Like Uncle Buck. What do you guys think about Uncle Buck, Drew? What do you think about old Uncle Buck?
I think you got it. I think you nailed it with Uncle Buck.
What the fuck was this guy? He's going along to the fucking OBGYN.
Hey, Unc, you want to come with me to my fucking pussy doctor?
Maybe
we can get you fixed up with somebody.
Now, do either of you have nieces?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Would you guys tag along to their appointment at the OBGYN?
I don't want to go with my daughter. I'm damn sure I'm going with me.
Fine guy, would you?
If they were that desperate to have somebody go with them and no one else would go, I would probably go.
Oh, of course you would. For the same
they
reasons
were that
as
desperate.
Same reason as Uncle Buck. Like Uncle Buck high-fiving in the waiting room,
Now, Uncle Buck, he actually appeared one other time. He stayed up all night with Trinity making her outfit for her music video when Miss Sandra threw Trinity out.
Wow. I remember that episode.
Maybe we're looking at Uncle Buck entirely wrong.
Uncle Buck had some questions of his own that he asked off camera.
Oh, brother. Anyone else you like, Drew?
Oh, man. I would say Oos, but he was kind of that was so fake with him throwing the pole box, you know what I mean?
Yes.
When she got on the point, when she brought the president and he flipped it on the floor, whatever, that was garbage.
Absolutely. And I mean,
bad acting there, brother.
Her laying there like, oh, I'm hurting, rub my tummy. He's like, ah.
Right.
So bizarre. Like, who acts like that? It was the dumbest. It was the dumbest of it all, probably.
He would just been like, yo, give me some head and shit, you know.
That's on the director's cut.
Yeah, I can't have no cookie, but what's wrong with your mouth? You talking and shit.
That's what I thought this whole goddamn episode.
Now, Ooh, he throws out fit for the most ridiculous stuff. The last time we saw him get angry and start throwing stuff, it was because Trinity's dad was in town and he was going to stay with him for a few days, and he just threw this massive fit because his father-in-law was at the house for a couple days, started throwing wine glasses.
Yes, he did.
She knew he wasn't going to give him no cookie while his daddy was in the house.
Old Derek Mack, former guest of the show. Excellent, excellent fella.
Craig,
anyone else?
My last one that I liked was John Cena.
Mm.
And he was the voice of indifferent logic because He's just driving his Mustang along. He's probably headed to the gym or to lunch or whatever. And he makes the mistake of asking Nikki what's wrong, and she's laying out this whole thing with Bree. And he's like, oh, well, have you noticed any changes? He's like, huh, okay, so is Brian on board with this, or is this just you going after your sister? And Nikki's just burying Bree, and Cena knows, well, that's not going to help anything. So he's there to try to point her in the right direction. And he's like, well, she doesn't know that the two of you are upset by her actions. She may not know that there is a problem to correct. So maybe you can explain that there has been something bothering you because of her actions and correct it that way. Nikki had never thought of it that way, but John Cena did. And then you can tell he doesn't want to be in that car anymore. He's looking to where he can park and get out of that situation, but he's stuck in traffic.
I don't know if he's trying to run away, son guy. I feel like John Cena has pimped the shit out of Nikki Bella and can get her to do whatever the hell he wants her to do. I don't think she would have flew in early and did the intervention if he wouldn't have told her to. I don't think Nikki Bella does shit without John Cena's permission. I think he pimps the shit out of her.
I don't know because we've already established this season she froze her eggs against the express wishes of John Cena.
Yeah, that's true. I think she's thinking if he ever cuts her loose, then, you know, she may want to have some eggs froze somewhere. But she's
that
not
was
doing...
Bree's logic. That was exactly why they did this. But when Cena found the syringes and the medicine that she needed, he thought she was shooting up heroin, so he's freaking out. And she explains what she was really doing, and she tells him, if you don't want me to freeze my eggs, then I'll stop if it upsets you that much. And he had calmed down, and a couple weeks had passed, and he explains that he would very much like her to not freeze her eggs because it freaked him out. And so Bree says, no, you have to do this now. So Nikki continues the procedure, has it done, and then tells Cena, oh, you know how I told you I wasn't going to freeze my eggs? Lied to you, sucker.
But he stayed true, though, right?
Yeah. He actually said he would put on a maid's outfit and take care of her.
Yeah. Maybe she's tempting him.
Maybe he did get that new house and the new car and.
Yeah, but all that's just that probably didn't set John back very much.
No, motherfucking.
That's fucking flowers and candy to us and shit. Here's a crib and a car.
Yeah.
To be fair, it was a high-end SUV.
Yeah,
it was like Escalades.
Yeah.
Which you probably say trash here, that you got wholesale.
That could be, because it seems like they have a different vehicle every episode.
Or at least he sends a bitches for $100 a month and gives them back.
That's probably it, honestly.
He could have paid all his debt off 10 years ago and got 700 fucking... He did fix my credit. He's got 700 credit score and fucking millions of dollars in the bank. This guy pays $5 a month to lease a fucking Mercedes.
John Cena's heading down to TJ by Ryder.
Right.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
I can't see Daniel Bryan doing that.
Daniel Bryan probably has owned a JD Byrider vehicle.
He probably does now.
No, he understands how, buying is somehow environmentally more friendly than renting to own.
He did those hybrids.
Yeah. fuck.
Looks
well,
like
Drew, this has been an absolute delight. Fun show, fun times. But let's wrap it up. Tell us your plugs. Plug all your plugs.
Right on, man. Well, hey, I want to first thank you guys for having me, man. I had a blast. It was a lot of fun.
It was an honor.
You can check me out on Facebook. The Facebook police got me, so it's under Drew Roberson. And then at Drew Skills on Twitter and Drew Skills 1 on Instagram. The website is still coming soon. It's only been coming soon for about 8 months now, but sooner or later I'll get going at DrewSkills.com. Like I said, we got those two cons coming up, Indie Pop Con, and then Days of the Dead. Check us out there. Soul Shooters, we're going to be beating up on the Headbangers at the Indie Pop Con June 18th.
Mm-hmm.
This Friday I'm in Bourbon, Indiana for Strong Style Wrestling. Me and Shane Mercer are going to war for number one contendership to get to face Congo Kong for his title. So a couple big shows and a couple big events coming up, man, and I appreciate you guys having me.
Well, we very much appreciate it, brother. Sign Guy, any final thoughts to Drew?
Hopefully he'll be talking to us after this, after having sat through this arduous journey of a nightmare that is Total Divas.
I'm gonna be calling in every week just to talk about how big of a bitch Nat is.
I'm down for that. That sounds great.
Well, thank you again, brother. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
You take care too, brother. Sign Guy, what do you got coming up?
Well, Friday on Sign Guy's Wrestling Show, we have Ring of Honor star, the Beer City Bruiser, on the show. Then...
Wait. Beer City Bruiser, pause. I love the Beer City Bruiser. Do you know this about me, how much I love him?
Yeah, because he has beer literally in his name.
When is he on? You said Friday?
Friday afternoon.
I'm calling in. I'm calling in to talk to Beer City. Oh, I love the Beer City Bruiser.
All right. Well, he will be on Friday. I confirmed with him.
All right. Send me info. What else?
Sunday on Turnbuckle, we have 20-year-plus veterans of wrestling, guys that have been in the business over 20 years. Scheduled so far, we have the UIWA World Champion Superstar Steve Stardom. We have Randy the Pimp Taylor, who loves this show apparently. And Cowboy Tex Thompson.
Why not Roger Blade?
I don't know why not Roger Blade.
Get him. Let's do it. Make it happen. I want to hear Roger Blade.
We can try.
All right. What else is coming up?
That's about all I have for this particular week, I believe, except episode 229 of The Sign of the Times will be filmed at some point. I'm still waiting confirmation on the inquiry I put out to Beast Barnett in episode 228. So hopefully we will have that, and he will not let the world down, much as you did when we did not get your epic rant on the guy that poured the beer on the broad at Safeco.
I'll do it next week, I promise.
You said that last week.
Yeah, I say a lot of things, but next week I'll do it for sure.
Now, is this like your wife, Beth, promising, swearing she will never go outside again, only to go outside mere days later?
This is a promise. This is as real as it gets.
So if an ordained minister were to show up at your house with the legal document in the Bible, you would swear to it that we would get this rant next Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay.
Send Beast over
with the legal document.
Okay, that's fine. Send him over with the Bible. Did you talk to Kevin Sullivan about the song?
Yes, I did, actually.
Tell us about it.
Well, I said to him, before I forget, and I probably will because I've had a lot of head injuries, and then we both laughed and we laughed.
Because concussions are funny.
They really are. And then I says to him, the Razor Ramones have written two songs for you, one of them, in fact, entitled I Don't Want to Go Down to the Dungeon of Doom. And then he chuckled, chuckled, and he said that he also had another band write songs about him. One of them had to do with the House of Humperdinck, and one of them had to do with the Lock and Luna Vachon back in his Florida days. He said he would love to hear these new songs.
Ah, excellent. Well, when they are recorded, I'll make sure you can get them to him. Coming up for me, Saturday, Ring of Honor in Indianapolis. We'll be there. That's about it. You know, I'll be hanging out playing video games. Got nothing.
Will one of them be Frogger?
No, it will not be Frogger.
That's too bad. Now, pause it. Will Jason the Gift Kincaid be at this Ring of Honor show?
Yes, he will.
Uh-huh. Now, I dig him the most. He also signed for me a copy of the most recent PWI 500 when I was trying to get as many people that I have personally worked with over the years that were on this list to sign it. He jumped on it, didn't hesitate, signed it, put it in the mail back.
He is in the match with Kamaitachi. Remember, you told me how he was so much better than Kamaitachi, and I laughed.
I didn't say he was better. I said all those guys are extremely good and it should be a great match. And you said he was the only wrestler you would ever love, which is odd because you just said you love the Beer City Bruiser.
I'm just thinking, though. You said that Jason Kincaid was the best in the world or something along those lines.
I said he was one of the best in the world, which I firmly believe.
Kamaitachi been in, you know, three of the top matches of the year. And then we're acting like anyone else on that match is better than them.
I'll stand by it. I still say his match with Leo Rush from the Top Prospects Tournament, one of the better ones of the year.
Oh, well, have you seen any of the Dragon Lee versus Kamaitachi series?
No.
Okay, well, then that's why you think that. All right, well, we're done here.
Wait, pause it. Will you also be seeing the Beer City Bruiser on Saturday after he's appeared on the Sign Guys Wrestling Show on Friday?
Oh, maybe. No, probably not. He's probably not on the tour then because they're in Illinois Friday night and then they're in Indy Saturday night. So he might not be on that tour.
He might be calling in from the arena in Illinois because he answered me to accept the invitation of the show during the Ring of Honor pay-per-view because I forgot it was the pay-per-view that night. And I messaged him, and I'm like, oh, no, he's at the pay-per-view. I probably interrupted him. And he messaged me back during said pay-per-view to accept the offer.
Well, if he's there, then I will discuss with him his appearance on the show because I'm going to call in and talk to him.
All right.
We'll ask him, are you going to be there tomorrow? And then we'll know.
That's true, because when he hits his plugs on what he's going to be doing, we'll pretty much know the answer.
All right, well, I'm done. Next week, we'll do it again with Brad Lehman. So until next time, I don't know, watch some TV or something, and then listen to the dudes. Sign Guy and Rex. Later.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.